All right, Kevin, it's nice to be able to do a show without having to come on and say something smart-ass or anything like that. It's a good win. Any win's a good win, but that win tonight in particular could have gone a couple of occasions. It could have gone in a lot of different directions. But the Blue Jays hang on for the win. And stop us if you've heard this before, but they are one game under 500. They will attempt to reach the 500 plateau tomorrow in the third game of this series against the Milwaukee Brewers. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Boy, the Jays had a lot of opportunities. Especially in the second and third inning, left the bases loaded. Had the bases loaded with one out in the third inning. Couldn't come through. But, yeah, there's just a lot of opportunity. Just looking at my scorecard, there's a lot of opportunities for both teams early in this game.
Yeah, look, I think it's sort of, you know, when you got a couple dudes on the mound, one's making his first big league start and the other one is overthrowing, trying to make up for some timing issues, getting the ball out of the glove. When you say is having some trouble, that's where it's starting. It's starting when he picks the leg up and starts down the mountain. It's the timing, getting the ball out of the glove so we can get the hand up high enough to have the same release point over and over and over again. You could just tell the secondary stuff was non-competitive a bunch of times. I know he made some decent pitches when he had to with the curveball there to get the punch out in one inning and the changeup to end the inning with the punch out. But for the most part, it was in a hurry with the secondary stuff. And you know, sometimes, again, when – you just don't have your best stuff when it comes to the secondary stuff. You're trying to overthrow. And I've said this to you a bazillion times. When he's throwing this hard, man, he's a handful. Like, would it have been better if he'd have had his secondary stuff and he could be a little bit more unpredictable? Absolutely. That would have got him a little deeper in the game. But that just goes to show you right now, because he's mechanically a little bit sounder than he used to be, if he has to, Jeff, he can muscle his way through a start. And that's exactly what he did.
Do you think that that explains the variance in speeds we saw in a lot of those pitches, a lot of the curves, like Danny and Joe were talking about that? They were, you know, anywhere between 82, 84, 85, 86. I mean, there was just a huge variance, not a huge variance, but a variance in speed in those pitches. Do you think that's the result of a guy just not having his best secondary stuff tonight?
Absolutely.
That, that might have been as much. It was more a case of that than intentional, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. I mean, look, when it's free and easy, he's got the right timing, ball out of the glove, and can repeat that and landing in the same spot and having the good, consistent finish. The ball's going where it wants to go, right? He can go arm side with the fastball. He can go up with the fastball. He can occasionally go into a righty with the fastball. And most of the secondary stuff are down. Right. When it's sort of up and away, he's missing arm side width, and a lot of them breaking balls and sliders are non-competitive. That right there tells you that sort of the red flag goes up, that the timing out of the glove is just not there. And again, you say a year ago probably couldn't have got through this start, right, against a good team?
No, that's exactly right, what I was going to go next.
Yeah, I mean, he was 11 for 22 throwing strike one. He had 5-3 ball counts. That's not great, right? Again, it was, if you can just get the velocity in the zone, because it's really hard to hit, because a lot of the times most right-handed hitters don't see lefties throwing this hard, you can get through a start. And consistently, I think the you know, just the mechanics were there enough. And mentally, he knew that, and so did Danny. Get big. Don't give him a small target. Get big. Set up right down the middle. Because of that velocity, you can get away with that, and this is sort of what happened. Again, you just give the lineup a chance to get the big hit. That's exactly what happened, right? I mean, the leadoff hitter, Horowitz, is having some quality at-bats. Danny Jansen there had the add-on run, which is what John Snyder talks about all the time. Springer hit a ball the other way with an RBI. That's what you do, right? You take what the pitcher gives you with runners in scoring position. Vladdy's late again, right? This is what I said. I've been saying this forever. I know he's been through a little bit of a hot streak, but that fruition thing he does with his lower half, it's almost impossible to always be on time with your front foot. Tonight and last night, foot's in the air when the swing starts. That's why you're seeing more of the ground balls to the pool side, and he ain't getting to his finish. It's real simple, and that's why you're seeing Etobicoke left on the bases. Hopefully that turns around because they're going to need him to get more of the big hits because of where he's hitting in the order. And if they got Horowitz, Jeff, leading off, it looks like he's going to get on base a ton. So Vladdy's going to come up with lots of traffic.
You know, Horowitz gets an RBI tonight. Danny Jansen gets the crucial add-on RBI. Kevin Horowitz leading off, Jansen hitting second. They're on base six times tonight. Twice by one walk for Danny, walk for Horowitz, couple of singles, double for Danny, an infield hit as well. If you're not going to be out there hitting home runs and slamming the ball off the wall, you need games like that from the top of the order. Yeah, I just thought. Listen, I thought this would have, and I told you when I saw the Brewers pull off that double steal, I went to a dark spot. As soon as that double steal happened, I thought, okay, this is where it's going to fall apart. This is, you know.
Jimmy was on the mound. Have some faith, Jeff.
Well, this is a Jimmy that I do have faith in. This isn't 95, 96 mile an hour Jimmy. This is 97, 98 mile an hour Jimmy. I got faith in 97, 98 mile an hour Jimmy.
Other than Richards, the bullpen was good, right? Pearson come in throwing 100. You know, I like the slow breaking ball. Don't abuse the slider, right? When he abuses the slider, it gives him more of a chance to throw one down the middle. That tends to be when he's getting hurt. If he's good glove side to the righties and into the lefties because he throws as hard as he does, and the variance between the breaking ball and the fastball, he'll be really good. Chad Green all of a sudden, right, the elevated fastball, the tunneling off of that elevated fastball, he's pitching with a lot of confidence. He's pitching ahead, which is a big deal. Trevor Richards having a tough time all of a sudden getting the changeup down. That's why you're seeing him starting to throw some more fastballs up with a little extra velocity just trying to get through the innings. That's called, you know, when you don't have your stuff, you got to battle through it. And Jimmy, look, Jimmy's been their best pitcher out of the bullpen all year, and nothing's changed here. So give the bullpen credit. They got some timely hitting. You say manned up when he had to man up. That's a big win for him.
Yeah, and he held it together with and kept everything intact with a very erratic strike zone from home plate umpire Quinn Walcott. I wouldn't say erratic; it was just bad.
Leagues. Awful.
Yeah, he's not. He's that was one of the worst. That was one of the worst balls and strikes game. And credit to him, he sucked for both sides. But that was particularly bad. And again, kudos to Yusei Kikuchi for. Yeah. I think you're right. Last year's Yusei Kikuchi, he's gone in the third inning, maybe the fourth inning. He's not doing what he did tonight. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. It's a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. Brendan in Alberta, you are on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk to you about Yusei and the umpiring. I know you just went over it, but how critical is it that he maintains his composure when he throws those two fastballs at the bottom of the zone and doesn't get the call? Also, from the other side, when you're the hitter and you're getting that wide strike call against you early in the game, I'm like, how difficult is that when you're the pitcher or the hitter to just remain calm and try and get yourself back into the at-bat?
That's a great question. I'm going to turn it over to a
hitter. Yeah, It's impossible, right? I mean, that's what a minor league umpire looks like. He's big everywhere. He's not big just to one side. A lot of the times going into these games, you'll know, a lot of umpires will give maybe away to a righty a little bit. They won't give you in. They won't give you down, but they'll give you away. Like, you know specifically when you walk to the plate where he's big at. When the dude's big like he is tonight and – you know, sometimes it's a strike, sometimes it's a ball, it's impossible. And that's not the way big league umpires are supposed to look. And if you're a hitter, you got to battle. Those are the times where you got to look right down the middle. And when you get it, you cannot miss it. You have to put it in play and put it in play hard somewhere. Because if you don't, as good as the pitching is, as hard as they throw, and as much as they tunnel the secondary stuff, and then you add on top of it, the umpire has as big a zone as that dude had. You know, you're going to go, what were they, 0 for 14, runners in scoring position, the Brewers were? That's probably what it's going to look like.
I don't think they've got a hit with runners in scoring position this series. Well, clearly they didn't because they didn't yesterday, and they didn't I don't think they did. Is that what Ben Shulman said? They haven't had a hit with runners in scoring position. The Jays said what? The Jays were 5-for-11, 5-for-12 today with runners in scoring position. You know, and I would think too for a hitter, Kevin, the other thing that would be frustrating is he also missed inside a couple of times as well on the hitters. He also missed inside. So I think guys are going up there. Again, you just want consistency. You want consistency.
Okay. Now, you think about the Brewers hitters facing a lefty that throws as hard as Yusei does, and they know walking to the plate because they just watched their buddy being thrown the secondary stuff that was very non-competitive. So you mm-hmm. know what you're looking for. You're zoning him up. You're getting real small with your window because you know he's wild with his secondary stuff. So you're trying to be real fine with what you want to swing at. And then that dude expands you and calls yeah. something that's not close on a yeah. pitch that's, say, 97, 98. And now instead of you being on the offense, you're on the defense because a dude is not a big league umpire. It is very frustrating. And it sometimes will put you in a funk because now you're mentally and mechanically all out of whack because you don't know what the strike zone is. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where it's gut check time. You just got to look at yourself in the mirror and hopefully you wad it up, throw it in the garbage, and hopefully, you know, you don't see him again for a while. You can get back into what you're trying to do and stay in the big part of the field. But it's not the easiest thing to do on the pitching side and on the offensive side because he was missing good pitchers' pitches too. So mm-hmm. it's frustrating for everybody.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. The Blue Jays beating the Brewers 3-0, the second game of a three-game series in Milwaukee. Tomorrow's finale goes at 2:10. Blair and Barker will be on the TV and radio with Blue Jays Talk following the game. Our coverage on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network will begin at 2:00 promptly. Adam in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi.
Hey, Adam.
So I'd like to talk about something that's been driving me crazy for years, and that is ever since they instituted the Ghost Runner, how in the world have teams not learned to bunt in extra innings? The home team should be winning virtually every extra inning game.
See, thanks for the call. You know, I think the way you play, and I think the way most teams play the extra inning games now, Kevin, with the Ghost Runners, if you're the visiting team, you got to try to score two. Yeah. You got to try to score two runs. That's basically mm-hmm. what you're doing. And that's why, to me, if I'm the visiting team, I'm not bunting. I don't want to give up an out to get a guy to third base, frankly. If I'm trying to score two runs, I would much rather try to. Now, home team's different. I agree with the caller. At home, if you're in the bottom of the 10th, I'm automatically bunting.
Well, I think it depends.
I'm automatically bunting. And it depends on the pitcher,
you're at
too, right?
Well, it depends on where you're at in the order, too, right? 3, 4, 5 dudes that don't know how to bunt. You obviously ain't going to bunt there. Yeah, I mean, it's situational. It's about the equipment that you got in your order, which would allow you to put certain plays on, right? I mean, it's you watch John Schneider when he puts hit and runs on. I mean, it ain't everybody. It's normally mm-hmm. IKF and Kevin Kiermaier and, you know, the Ernie Clements of the world, like the bottom of the order, guys that letting the ball travel, thinking middle the other way, guys that are not trying to bridge people with big giant swings. So you got to have the equipment. You got to, you know, stop the other team from scoring, which would allow the home team to win it and walk it off. So, yeah, you got the right equipment, absolutely. I mean, you do whatever it takes to win baseball games, but ain't no money in bunting. I mean, that's basically what this comes down to. I agree with the caller. I mean, it is all about winning, but there's got to be a benefit for these players to actually practice these things. I mean, most the batting averages now are in the low 200s.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't obvious. It's obviously not any more about putting balls in play and getting hits. It's about doing damage. I mean, every time you hear a khaki talk or somebody that comes on our show that matters with these organizations, they always start with the same word, slugging. I mean, what are these teams slugging and these players slugging? So, yeah, I mean, it's make perfect sense. You're trying to win World Series, but a lot of players just don't know how to do it, and organizations don't really want them to do it.
416 870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. This is Blue Jays manager John Schneider talking about Yusei Kikuchi's start.
Kept his composure. Tight zone. And, you know, I thought he made really good pitches. Had a great fastball tonight. And, you know, when you're navigating traffic like that, pitch count kind of goes up. We were hoping for at least five, and he did just that. But I think that, you know, fastball was really, really good tonight against a good hitting team. And, you know, as the game went, I think he really kind of paired his curve and slider well with it. So credit to him, and he had a really battle.
Yeah, that, boy, you know, Kevin, I was just thinking as John Schneider talked, the two starts they've gotten back-to-back here from Berríos and Kikuchi, both battling starts. Like, that's why, you know, when I came on and I said it was a good game to win, well, yeah, Captain Obvious, every game is a good game to win. But when you lose a game the way you lost last night with your starter, José Berríos, really, really grinding it out, and then if you were to lose this game with another starter really, really grinding it out, like there are times where you do have to pick up the starting pitchers. That hasn't happened enough this year. But, yeah, again, I just can't say. I think this win tonight is going to sit really well with the Blue Jays. And, again, if they win tomorrow and they're 500, yeah, it's a rough stretch of games. But we spent the last week talking about this in Blair and Barker and in this show. Right now, 500 isn't the worst place to be. There are a bunch of teams that wouldn't mind being at 500 right now. It's a start. That's the way I look at it. It's a start.
Yeah, it puts a lot of pressure on your starting rotation, though, man. Like the lack of run support that these dudes are getting and the things that they're trying to use to get through starts, right? I mean, you're going to have some starts where it just thing ain't working. Like, no matter where I grip it, no matter where I land, that thing just ain't coming out the way I want it to come out. And then you got to overthrow a fastball to get it in the zone and get a bunch of swing and misses and get you through five and, you know, have a couple of three up, three downs in the fourth and fifth inning just to – sort of save face there and turn it over to a pen with the lead. Like, that's, you know, again, if you're a Jays fan, man, because of the way they throw the ball from the starters, you close your eyes and picture. If you had a thumper right in the middle of that order that hit behind Vladdy, boy, you talk Jeff cooking with gravy. Boy.
Yeah, that
one
is.
One can dream, man. One can dream.
Yeah, it's, you know, you look at games like tonight, again, Vladdy. You know, I'm not going to turn this into Hammer and Vladdy night. He did hit one ball really hard, and it was right at Willie Adames. It's an out, correct. And other than that, you know, three ground balls to the pull side and a strikeout swinging. I mean, you know, you look at that and the fact that this team was able to win, again, it just gets back to me to credit to the top of the order for doing what they did. Yeah. Like, you're starting to see, I think, Kevin, I'm thinking of guys like Horowitz and Jansen, Varsho, you're seeing it a little bit, IKF. You're starting to see some of these complementary players. You can see how if you had another thumper in the middle of the lineup, it would help because you are getting production from guys that you wouldn't expect to be guys who are carrying the team.
You're not asking them to carry it. You're just asking them to be themselves.
Exactly.
Because you have a thumper that can carry it. That's the whole point, and that's why we were on our show and when we were doing our podcast and I was in spring training, what's the thumper at? Like, they've had 2 years to get this dude. I mean, where's he at? Like, the 39-year-olds and the $15 million for a utility third baseman and bringing back a guy that gets hurt a lot playing center field,
It does.
It just makes you scratch your head, man. That's all.
Yeah, you know, we talk about how good the top of the order is, but it also says something that the first two guys in the lineup were on base six times and didn't score a run. That also says something, right? That in some ways sums up where the Jays are more than anything else. You've been pleading for games like that from dudes at the top of the order, and you get that tonight.
Yeah, your highest
and
paid
they're not scoring.
Your highest paid position player who plays right field's got 14 RBIs. And we're almost in the middle of June.
Yep.
That's not getting it done.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 3-0. The Blue Jays beating the Milwaukee Brewers. We've got time for more calls. You want to talk about Yusei Kikuchi? You've already seen Yusei Kikuchi's name surface in some trade rumors. We saw a big picture of Bo Bichette today on a on an MLB.com article on possible trades being made. So there's a lot to talk about. Talk about the game. Talk about those issues as well. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Whether you're pitching him in the sixth, the ninth, I mean, he's just, you know, as cool as it gets, you know. Outstanding execution. Huge at bat there in the eighth to get the strikeout. And, you know, kind of just made quick work of it in the ninth, too. But his demeanor is so good. Obviously, he's confident. You know, he's having a tremendous year. But I think it's way harder to do than the way he makes it look, you know. So really, really want him in at any spot.
Boy, oh boy, with Jordan Romano out. It's great to have this year's edition of Jimmy Garcia, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really is. Almost from from the start of spring training, this is kind of what we've come to expect. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. 3-0, the Blue Jays beating the Milwaukee Brewers. And the third game of the series is tomorrow in Milwaukee. That was John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, talking about Jimmy Garcia, obviously. Kevin, I just want to standings don't matter.
They do.
Yeah. But just to kind of reinforce in people's mind how goofy this season has been, we talked about it with David Sampson today. The Blue Jays right now are two games out of the last wild card spot. Couple of days ago, they had six teams between them and the spot. There's now one, the Boston Red Sox, who are also 33 and 34. There are nine teams in the American League under 500 right now. If you look at the MLB standings, and the category I like looking at is the last 10 games, Kevin, there are a bunch of 6-4s, 6-4s, 5-5, 4-6, 3-7. I mean, the only two teams that have really sort of that are stating their case in the last 10 games. Baltimore's won five in a row. They swept the Rays. I guess you can throw the Mariners in there. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and the Yankees are 8-2, and the Yankees look like, I mean, they look like they mean business.
Judge looks like a cartoon character. I mean, really. He had another home run tonight.
He's a cheat code. He's a cheat code right now.
It is unbelievable.
Spencer Horwitz was asked about playing second base tonight, and his comfort level. Keep in mind, he is a first baseman by trade, and he was sort of force-fed second base at AAA this year. He's playing second base in the majors right now, and this was Spencer Horwitz after the game.
In terms of the transition to second base, how have you found it so far? I mean, the first time doing it at the big league level, been much different from Buffalo. What's it felt like?
It's been fun. I'm being titled or labeled a first baseman pretty much my whole professional career is. I think it gives me a little more versatility, saying that I can play second, and I'm just getting more comfortable with the reps and working with Carlos and with Donnie Murphy and Casey down in Buffalo. I think it's gotten a lot better, and I think it's only going to get better.
All right, Kevin. Moving from first base to second, that's not a move you often see. Now, I understand versatility is important in the game now. We know that.
Yeah.
Could you play second base?
I was left-handed, so no.
So you can't. Oh, well, there you go. Thank you for answering that. But
absolutely not. But yeah. I look. I think it's footwork. I think it's first move. I think it's positioning. I mean, again, they're going into this thing. When the last time you saw him playing second, where he's had to really go after a baseball? They are really, really good about standing him in the right spot to where most of them balls that are hit, he's got to take a step or two, and it's right there at him, right? I mean, those balls that he's coming in on, he seems really good at that. It's normally when you move positions, it's side to side because you lose track of the baseball, right? When you're moving to a side, the ball you're seeing most of the time is out of one eye instead of both eyes. And that's the sort of the transition of just trying to, you know, bend over and backhand it or – you know, setting your feet and throwing it, like that's the sort of the part of it that he's going to have to get used to. But who cares? I mean, they're at the point now where that doesn't matter anymore. Catch the ball that's right at you most of the time, if not all the time, and go up and get on base all the time. Like, that's your job.
3-0, the Blue Jays have beaten the Milwaukee Brewers. Game 3 of the series is tomorrow. It is a 2:10 first pitch on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. We'll be on following the game with Blue Jays talk. Again, 3-0, the Blue Jays beating the Milwaukee Brewers. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bancroft and Halliburton. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.